Hey there, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and welcome to another one of my podcasts, and hopefully this will be another interesting one. I always try my best to make them enjoyable. So this is actually one that I've had several requests for, especially in the last few days. Basically, what we're going to do in this podcast and what I've had a request for since I've kind of done some GPS comparisons in the past, I remember I did the first one several years back when Wayfinder and Mobile Geo were the big things on Symbian and Windows Mobile. And then I've done, of course, a few podcasts on GPS apps on the iPhone and comparing them and that type of thing. So the Sendero GPS app has just been released for the iPhone, and I've had a few requests to compare it with a nearby Explorer, which runs on Android. And we can definitely do that, and that's what I'm going to do in this podcast. Although the thing is, each one, of course, runs on its own separate platform. Nearby Explorer is running on Android, and Seeing Eye GPS, which is what the name of the Sendero one is, runs on the iPhone. So really, if you want a fully accessible GPS app, you'll end up using whichever one works with the platform you've got. It's kind of like how it was with Wayfinder and Mobile Geo. Wayfinder worked on Symbian, Mobile Geo worked on Windows Mobile. But there are some differences, and certainly I would not say that the GPS should be make or break what platform you use. There's a lot of other things to consider, though it's probably one thing to think about. The good news is that both iOS and Android now, the accessibility really is about on the same level, and even the gestures are very similar. So you won't really have to make the decision based on which platform is more accessible. They both are. Of course, the gestures are the same, basically. I mean, there's some differences when you get into the more advanced ones, but the basic way they both work is the same. You can touch what you want on the screen or swipe left and right to move through the elements on the screen and then double tap to activate the item. So that's all the same. So that's very similar. So, you can choose whichever platform you want. And the good thing is we will have, you got an accessible GPS on each one. So what we're going to do is for each one, I've already done a separate podcast on Nearby Explorer, but even still, I will briefly kind of show you each app first, and then what we'll do is we'll take it out on a trial run. I live really close to a park, so what we will do is we'll walk over there, and we'll walk around a little bit and see what kind of information we can ascertain from each app, and then we'll type in a route, and we'll go to a place. And we'll see how the guidance works on each one, and we'll compare them. I'm going to do a Nearby Explorer on Android first, and then we will do the Seeing Eye GPS app on the iPhone. First, a little bit of kind of some basics about each app. Both of them currently are only available in the U.S. and Canada. So for folks in Europe and other places, I think both of them are working on that, but it's not out yet as far as other places go. Nearby Explorer sells for $99, and the Sendero one actually is a subscription-based model. To download the app is free, but to use it, it's $69 a year or $129 for 3 years. And for those that say, well, that's a lot more expensive than, other apps in the app stores, that's very true. But, you have to kind of think about the market. It is a smaller market. And for the mainstream GPS, like the Garmin, the TomToms, and things like that, that were in cars for a while, they actually charged you a pretty good fee each year to update the maps also. And you figure, too, GPS on the note takers cost around what, $1,200 or $1,300? So, it is what it is. You have to decide, as with anything, is the price worth the benefit that it gives you? Now, as far as how it's different from the mainstream GPS apps, we've got on iOS, of course, we have Navigon, we've got TomTom, we've got Garmin, Google Maps, and even Apple Maps. On Android, we have actually Navigon and TomTom are available, but Google Maps, of course, has built-in navigation, and it works very well. So the main thing that these apps give you that the other ones will not, they'll do directions to a route, but the biggest thing I think that they give you is telling you where you are, telling you what street you're on, what street you're approaching, what places you're close to. That's the type of thing that they give you that the mainstream ones don't. And you can ascertain some of that from the mainstream ones, but not quite as easily. Again, as with anything, you have to decide, is the price worth the benefit? Nearby Explorer stores its maps locally. So when you first install it, it will ask you to allow it to download the maps. It's about 2 or 3 gigs that it'll take on your device. So in theory, you could use that app without a data connection. However, you will be kind of limited in one respect, because what it does, it uses the maps for the streets, and there are some points of interest in the onboard maps database. But what it also will do, if you have a data connection, is use the Google Places to find out your closest points of interest. And that really provides a lot of information. So technically, I guess you could use Nearby Explorer without a data connection and just use the onboard maps, but you would lose one of the major benefits of it. So it's not something I would want to do. On the other hand, the Seeing Eye GPS app requires a data connection all around. There's no onboard map storage for that app. And, I guess for some people that could be inconvenient, but I don't think the data usage is high. And nowadays, too, you'd be hard-pressed to find a place that didn't have cell coverage and hence a data connection, if that even exists, which if it does, it's very, very few and far between. So that shouldn't be an issue for you, really. So that's how it works as far as the map usage goes for each app. Alrighty. There's a couple other things too, I want to say before we get started. Sometimes people, they get really passionate about these, and say, if one app does one thing better than another, the person was biased and, that's why it ended up that way. I mean, my intent is not to be biased here. I will say right up front, my mobile platform of choice is Android. That's the one I use mostly. However, I did, because I want to keep up with iOS developments, and my iPhone 3GS was starting to show its age and it's not going to get any more updates. So I did recently just buy a unlocked iPhone 5, and I am really enjoying it. I don't think one platform is necessarily better than the other one. I think they're different. They have different philosophies all around. I would say probably, and I'm not going to go into this too much here, that the debating the iOS Android debate could take a whole podcast in itself, but I would say for somebody that just wants something to work, they don't want to get into the technical details of it, they don't want to really tweak a lot of things, iOS might be a better choice for you. You could still use Android, certainly, but on the other hand, for somebody who wants to do some tweaking, if you want more customization, if you want more access to the nitty-gritty of your device, then Android by far is probably the best choice. And that's me. I like being able to really customize things and tweak things, and I want full unrestricted access to do whatever I want with my device, and that's why I use Android, as my primary platform. But like I say, I just got an iPhone 5, and I am enjoying it, and I have no regrets about getting it. And if you can get both types of devices, then you kind of have the best of both worlds. And it's good now that we have an accessible GPS app on both of them. Nearby Explorer has been out for a few months. It's on, I think, the 7th release. I'm actually running the newest public beta that they've released with some features that will be in the next official release. But I don't think none of the changes in the beta will affect what we're going to do. It's some tweaks. They've added a couple of things for street names are handled and things like that, but it's not going to make a whole lot of difference, I think, for our purposes. The Sendero app was just released the other day, I think earlier this week, beginning of July, and they're already working on the next release. So, you know, this is the first one. It will get better. So, you know, what happens here may not be, you know, there may be improvements by the time you hear this. So my goal is not to be, you know, biased. And what's important for me may not be important to someone else. So there may be a feature that I think, you know, one does better, but, you know, that may not be the case for someone else. So, you know, that's just some stuff to keep in mind. Alrighty then. So let's get into the first app, Nearby Explorer. What I'm going to do, and I'm using, for any of you that are curious for this, I got a few different Android devices. What I'm using here, for this is a Samsung Captivate Glide Android phone. It's a nice phone, a pretty big screen. It's got a slide-out keyboard on it. It's got a, I think it's a 1 gigahertz dual-core processor, something like that. And I am running CyanogenMod, which is a aftermarket firmware version of Android on it, and it's Cyanogen 10.1, and it is using Android 4.2.2, which is the latest and greatest Android. Although the app will work the same regardless of what Android version you're running, so that doesn't really matter. I just gave you that for those that were curious. So, alrighty, let's go ahead and open up this app, and I will brief you. Like I say, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each app in great detail, but I will try to show you the basics. So, for those of you, if you get one of these apps, you'll kind of have a head start on how to get started with it. So. Let's go ahead and unlock the device here.
Device unlocked. 2011.
All right then. And I'm going to go ahead and open up my apps list and open up Nearby Explorer.
Messaging. App drawer.
I'm using Ivona for my voice on Android here because you can install other voices and use them as your system voices. So I'm going to go ahead and open that up.
Oda Updater. Nearby Explorer.
There we go. Double tap on that.
Nearby Explorer. Home.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to pause the GPS for now, which basically turns off the GPS. We're still in the app, so I can kind of show you how this screen is laid out without the thing babbling all the time. What we've got with this application, and we can swipe through these items, you basically have a series of, I think it's like 17 or 18 checkboxes, and these do two things. Actually, some of them do three, and I'll get into that in a second. But they have the most current information for that item, and if the item is checked, it will also automatically be spoken to you when that item changes. So some of these you may want to have checked, and some you may not, for because it's too much verbiage. So let's swipe through these, and I'll describe them to you as we go, and we'll see what we got.
Nearby Explorer.
Okay.
Street name.
Now let's start at the top here, actually.
Approaching.
Let's...
Street number.
Let's see.
State.
Go to the top.
Nearby Explorer. Approaching.
Okay.
Approaching.
So, well, come on.
Guidance. Checkbox. Street name.
Alrighty, there we go. I'm going to scroll this
provider.
Back up to the top. Okay.
Virtual. Checkbox. Not checked.
Okay, so the first one is provider, and it says virtual because we paused the GPS. That basically tells you where it's getting its information from. Speaking of virtual, the other thing, at this point, Nearby Explorer does have some map exploration capabilities, like where you can virtually explore the map. I think that's going to be coming in the Sendero app, but I don't think it's there yet, or if it is, I haven't really seen it. So that may be something else you want to keep in mind. I'm not going to really go into that feature on this particular podcast, but suffice it to say that Nearby Explorer does have some map exploration capabilities, too, if that's important to you, where you can virtually explore. Anyway, so the provider is, it'll say virtual or network if it's using your Wi-Fi network or the GPS receiver, which is the most accurate, which is usually what you'll want it to say. But if it can't get a fix for some reason, then, you know, it'll use one of the other ones. So let's keep going.
State, Missouri, checkbox, checked.
And that's checked. I don't have the provider one checked. Because I don't really need to have that announced all the time when it gets a GPS fix. But there's the state. You'll probably want to have that checked. So whenever you change states, that'll be announced.
County, St. Louis, city, county, Checkbox. Checked.
Okay, and that's checked to the county.
City. St. Louis. Checkbox. Checked.
Yep, okay, that's checked too.
Heading. Checkbox. Checked.
Heading is what direction you're going. So it's like heading north, south, east, west, whatever the case may be. So you probably want to keep that checked as well.
Street number 3918.
Okay.
Checkbox. Not checked.
Yeah, street number. So that I don't have checked, which means I could check it manually on the screen, but it's not going to automatically be spoken, and you probably wouldn't want that to be spoken all the time, because as you were walking around, moving around, you'd have that number constantly updating, which that's probably way too much verbiage. So I have that unchecked, but of course you can check on the screen at any time to see where you're at.
Street name, Jameson Avenue, 44 yards west. Checkbox, checked.
Okay, street name, you probably want to keep that checked, because that'll tell you what street you're on.
Approaching, checkbox, checked.
Approaching, that tells you you're approaching street, what street you're coming up to. There is an option, if you long press on that item, you can turn off where it tells you, like, it counts down the number of yards until you get there. It'll just tell you the upcoming street, and that's it. Usually you wouldn't want to probably do that, but that option is available for you if you want. So that's that item.
Approaching. Checkbox. Checked.
Okay.
Guidance. Checkbox. Approaching.
Okay, guidance.
Checkbox. Checked.
You probably want to have that checked. That is when you enter a route. It gives you the instructions, so you probably just want to always leave that checked, because if you're not having a route, then that item is not going to say much of anything.
Nearby. Near Jameson Avenue at Lindenwood, PL. Checkbox.
Okay.
Checked.
Nearby, that is the place that you're closest to. And with Google Places, some of the intersections are also considered places, so it puts them in as a place. So you'd probably want to leave that checked. Also, if you're interested in what places you're passing, or you can uncheck that if that doesn't interest you.
Nearby distance, 38.
Okay, nearby distance.
Checkbox.
That that tells you how far you are from the closest place. And there is an interesting aspect to that control also. If you double tap and hold on it, which in Android that basically opens the context menu for the current item, you can set the distance that it uses to consider what the closest place is. The default, I think, is like 150 yards, something like that. But you can, again, you can change that. And that basically controls how close you have to be to a place before the app will say that you're that's the nearest place.
Watch. Checkbox. Okay. Not checked. Disabled.
Watch is disabled at this point because I have the guidance checked. So I think that disables that. But that's kind of like a getting warmer function. If you just want to watch a destination but not be guided to it, it'll tell you, you know, like, it's this far away from you or something like that. So that's what that item does.
Speed. Checkbox. Not checked.
Speed. I don't have that checked. You can check that if you want to, but it just says how fast you're going. And again, that would probably update quite a bit if it was checked, so you probably would want to leave it unchecked so it's not automatically spoken.
Speed. Checkbox. Latitude. And 38, 35.
Latitude. Longitude.
Longitude. Double. Altitude. Checkbox.
Usually you'd want to leave those unchecked also because, again, they can change and you probably would not always want that spoken. But those are available for you to check, and you can certainly check them if you wish.
Accuracy. Checkbox. Not checked.
Yeah. Accuracy, that tells you how confident the program is about its GPS fix. And, of course, there's nothing in there now because we've turned off the GPS. We went... The main did pause, so.
Altitude, checkbox, accuracy, number of satellites.
Number of satellites, checkbox, too. That's the last item. That just tells you how many satellites the program is picking up. So that's the main things on the screen. And again, you can check them any time to see the current status. And if you have them, whatever items you have checked will automatically be spoken whenever they update. So I've got all the essential stuff checked. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and check. I usually don't have this checked, but I am going to check it for this demonstration. The place distance.
Nearby. Near Jane. Nearby distance.
Nearby distance.
Checked.
I am going to check that because then it'll say, like, the place is, 30 yards in front or behind you. I usually don't use that just because I don't need to know that. But for this, we'll go ahead and enable that for this just for some extra context. Okay, so those are the main items. Let's go into the menu. With the menu key and see what else we've got in there, because there are a couple other features.
Resume,
we'll be selecting that once we get outside to re-enable the GPS.
Search,
we'll be doing that for our route. So I'll show you that more when the time comes to get to that.
Explore,
that gets into exploring the map. Again, which I'm not going to go into too much on this podcast, but it is available if you want to explore the map.
Favorites,
you can add favorites, your favorite points of interest. That's something that the Sendero one does not do either yet. I know it's been requested, and I think they are going to add that. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff they want to do. So that is a feature that I'm sure will be coming.
Transit.
That is a cool feature. The Sendero one does not have that either at this point. But what it is, for certain cities, it will download transit information, and then it will be able to tell you, like, you are, like, 30 yards away from the closest bus stop, and here are the buses that come to this stop, and here's the next time that the bus is coming. That's a really cool thing. And for St. Louis, which is where I'm at, they do have the transit information, so that's a nice thing. So that's...
More.
There's more. Let's go in there.
Showing four items. View map. Disabled.
View map. Yeah, that's a visual thing. It doesn't really help us much.
Settings.
We'll come back to that in a second.
Help.
Help opens the user's guide in whatever you have set as your default browser.
About
just gives you the version info. Let's go into settings and take a look. There's a few things I want to show you in there.
Settings.
Okay. So what we've got.
Settings. Allow compass mode. Checkbox. Not
checked. Allow compass mode. I don't have that checked at the moment, but if you do check it, if you put the phone vertically, it will use the compass, if your phone has one, to determine what direction, and you can point it in different directions. And it will tell you what's ahead in that direction. I usually keep that disabled and let it just use the GPS for that. But you can use that if you wish. The next feature is kind of nifty.
Allow GeoBeam checkbox not checked.
Okay, GeoBeam. I don't have it checked either. And again, I'm not going to go into that probably too much on this. It's another feature. But Sendero has this too. It's called Look Around Wand. But basically, you can point your phone in different directions, and it will tell you what places are in that direction. That's probably better to use when you're stationary. When you're probably walking around, you probably want the real-time information, which is why I keep that disabled. But that feature is available in both apps. Should you want to experiment and play with that, it is there.
Include street address and near... use network when available. Checkbox. Checked.
That's the next option. My finger slid and it interpreted that as a touch instead of a swipe, so that's why it skipped a few controls. Use data connection when available. You'd probably usually want to leave that checked. No reason to really disable that I can think of.
Use Google for street addresses. Checkbox.
Use Google for street addresses. Okay, this is something that is actually in the beta. And what it does is, instead of using the onboard maps for what street you're on, it will use Google instead, and that can be interesting. Around here, some of the streets are described a little better using Google, and some of them are described better with the onboard maps. I've noticed in Google, sometimes the street names, it's the same street, but it's described differently in different places. So I have that unchecked, which means it'll use the onboard maps for the streets, and that's okay in this case. But that will be available in the next official release. And actually, if you've purchased the product, the betas are public, so if you've already purchased the product, you can install the beta if you want to test the newest features. So we'll leave that unchecked, and it'll use the street maps for the onboard maps for the streets.
Include street address and nearby place. Checkbox. Not checked.
Yeah, include the street address and nearby place. So that will basically, if you have it checked, it will, on the main screen, it will have the address of the place in addition to the name of it. You can check that if you want. I keep it unchecked because that's a little extra verbiage.
Self-voicing. Checkbox.
Self-voicing, you'd want to leave that checked. Usually that's for the automatic speech. If you turn that off, then you wouldn't have any automatic spoken feedback. You'd have to read everything manually, or I think it puts up some notifications that your screen reader will read also. But again, there's usually no reason to disable that.
Choose synthesizer.
You can change what speech engine is used. If you have more than one installed on your phone, it just uses the one that's set as your default. And then you can change that if you wish.
Use metric measurements. Checkbox.
Use metric
not checked.
Measurements. That's meters instead of yards, and I have that unchecked. So, and that's the last
choice
of the settings.
3 to 10 of 10. Use old style orientation sensor. Checkbox.
Use old style orientation sensor. Okay, that's for some backward compatibility with some older phones, I think.
Route settings.
Okay, that's the last thing. Let's
use old style route settings.
Let's go in there a second. Let's double tap that.
Route settings.
Okay.
Route settings. Pedestrian mode. Checkbox. Checked.
Okay, if that's checked, then it will create a pedestrian route instead of a vehicle route. And we'll leave that checked for now, since that's what we're going to be doing. The rest of the items in here apply to vehicle routes.
Route optimization. Fastest time.
You can do fastest time, shortest route, so you can change that.
Use highways. Checkbox. Checked. Use unpaved roads. Checkbox. Checked. Use toll roads. Checkbox. Checked. Use ferries. Checkbox. Checked.
Okay.
Consider current heading when calculating routes. Checkbox. Checked.
Yeah, so those are the other route options, and probably leave those checked. And the consider heading, that one basically, it considers your current direction when it calculates the route, so you usually want to leave that checked. Okay,
settings.
Let's back out of here.
Nearby Explorer.
And we are back on the main screen. All right, what I am going to do is pause this, and let's go ahead and head outside. It's a nice day, and let's go ahead and head over to the park across the street. We'll walk around a bit there, and we'll put this through its paces, and then we'll put in a route, and we'll travel that. So go ahead and pause this, and we'll pick it back up once we get outside. Okie doke. We are back on the recording here, and I am outside, and what we're going to do, let me go ahead and unlock my phone here, and let's head over to this park. Trying to juggle a cane, my recorder, and my phone. And that's kind of an interesting thing. So, all right, let's unlock this.
Device unlocked. 20 p.m.
Let's turn that volume up a little bit, too.
Latitude, N3835.6.
Okay, so what we're going to do is go to the menu. And we're going to do resume.
Nearby Explorer. Near Studio Photography, 103 yards west.
Okay.
Items, checkbox, checked.
So there we are.
Studio B Photography, 0.5 miles north, near Jameson Avenue at Lindenwood, PL 27 yards south.
All right, so
Northeast Winslet Avenue, right side, 114 yards.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and lock my screen.
Heading north, screen off, 28 yards northwest.
Okay, there we go. And once we get across this,
230 yards. Winslet Avenue, right side, 111 yards.
Okay.
Heading northeast.
Hey, northeast. Now we'll be able to get out of this traffic. We're over at the park now,
right,
and I'll go ahead and walk up a block. So, I've turned off my screen now, and this app will provide all the spoken feedback of the items that are checked.
Jameson Avenue. At Lindenwood, PL 49 yards west, Wenslick Avenue, right side, 81 yards.
Okay, so it says we're coming up to a Wenslick Avenue street, and it's on the right side, which means actually we won't encounter that because we're on the left side of that street, and that's okay. Because I just want
Jameson Avenue at Lindenwood, PL 79 yards west. Wenslick Avenue, right side, 49 yards.
Okay. So, Jameson to Lindenwood is the closest place, and it's saying it's 79 yards west behind us, and then it's saying Wenslick is the next street coming up. Now, this is one thing
Wenslick Avenue, right side, 27 yards.
That's one thing that the Sendero app does not do at this point. I think they're going to fix that eventually. At least I hope they do. If you turn off your screen on the iPhone, you will get no feedback. As we'll see when we get to that app, I'll kind of show you that. to have your screen on all the time, not only does it waste the battery, but it's touching things that can make things more interesting. But we'll get to that when we get to the Sendero app. But let's just go ahead and keep walking up this block. And we'll go to the end of the block. We'll do
Prather Avenue ahead 99 yards.
Prather Avenue ahead 99 yards. That's the next street that we'll actually come to. You notice before it said Wenslick Avenue, right side, which means...
Near Lindenwood Park, 0.2 miles north.
Okay, it says near Lindenwood Park. That's where we're actually at, but I guess where it's marked on Google's places, it's 0.2 miles north where the actual marking. That's why I turn off the... place distance, because sometimes it can be a little extra verbiage, but...
Prather Avenue at 68 yards.
Okay. So, Prather Avenue is ahead 68 yards. And I haven't touched a thing on my phone to get all this to speak. It's just automatic. It just automatically does it, because it's self-voicing. So we should be just about to that street.
Prather Avenue ahead 47 yards.
There we are. 47 yards. Okay. We should be just about there. And then, we will put in our destination for our route. Okay.
Prather Avenue, at 27 yards.
And Prather Avenue, 27 yards. Okay.
Prather Avenue.
And here we are.
Censored Media LLC, 112 yards east.
Yeah, so it says near Censored Media LLC. I'm not sure what type of place that is, but it's 112... yards east. Okay. All right. So now, here we are at a corner. I wanted to come up here because I wanted to make sure that we had a turn in our route.
Volume 21.
I was debating where we should actually go. I use kind of two places sometimes. Mom's Deli, which is a delicatessen, which has some great sandwiches, or there's a donut drive-in place. We could go there, but let's use Mom's Deli. I think we'll use that one. It's a little bit closer in this case, and I think we'll do that. Actually, I bumped my volume on this. Let me make sure that this thing is still recording, okay? Yeah, it is. Okay, we're fine. All right, so the way we do this is when you go to the search screen in Nearby Explorer... It shows you the point, all the points of interest that are within the distance you set, whether it's 300 yards or 600 yards, whatever the case may be. And then you can do a search for the place, and then you can choose to get directions, and we'll go through that now. So what I'm going to do here is let's unlock the screen in this case.
Device unlocked, 2:25 p.m.
Okay, press menu.
Pause. Search. Alert waiting for result.
Okay, so it...
Online search results 150 yards.
Okay, I got it set for 150
Online
yards at the moment. So...
Search. Edit box. Search.
Okay, so we can see what is within 150 yards, just for the heck of it.
Lindenwood. St. Louis. Place. 14. Increase search radius. St. Louis. Place. 14 miles northeast. Lindenwood Park. Lindenwood Park. Place. 336 yards. Censored Media LL. Search city. State. Search nearby streets.
Okay, so you've got... Kind of gives you the closest things around here, and then there's options. You can type in something, and you can choose to search streets. You would do that for an address. You can choose to search places, or you can choose to search for a city and state. And if you do that, then you can virtually place yourself in that city at that location. And then from there, you know, you could... That's another way to explore the map. Okay, I'm going to have to put this recorder in my pocket to type this for Mom's Deli. We're just going to type in Mom, M-O-M, and that should allow it to find it. So I'm going to put this in my pocket. And you may not be able to hear too well for a second, but
St. Louis. Search
what I'm going to do is double tap on the edit box, which will bring up the keyboard. Okay, and we type...
M I O O
O
H M M M.
There we go. All right. So now
search M deleted.
Yeah, I'm going to delete that. Come on.
G B N M M.
There we go. All right. So now
edit box.
If we go up here,
search city, censored media, search city, search nearby streets, search nearby places, alert waiting for result.
Tap on search nearby places.
And now it does a full 30-mile search, which is the maximum that Google will allow. And let's see if it found what we need.
Online search, search, edit box, search nearby, search near, search city, Mom's Deli.
And there we are.
0.3 miles southwest, 4412 Jameson Avenue, St. Louis.
Okay, so there we are. It's 0.3 miles southwest. And that's the place we want to go. Now, we have several options if we double-tap that. Which I will do, but again, I'm going to have to put this recorder in my pocket to do this. Alright, so now we have some options here.
Save to favorites. Get directions.
If we do get directions, what that will do is it'll just give us a directions list of, and you can, that's a good way to explore a route before you take it.
Set as destination. Set as destination.
Set as destination.
Go to.
Go to. What that would do is it would place us virtually there, at the place, and then we could explore from there or do whatever else we wanted.
Open in browser.
Open in browser. Opens the website.
Set as watch.
Set as watch. That's where we could do the getting warmer function.
Call.
Call the place if it has a number.
Save to favorite.
All right. So what we want to do here is set this as a destination.
Get directions. Set as destination. Set as watch.
Come on,
open,
let's see.
Go to. Set as destination.
Okay, again, I'm going to have to... I'm having trouble double-tapping this, holding this recorder, so let me drop it in my pocket again.
Get direct. Set as... Get direct. Set as... Item 7 to 14 of 18.
Okay, and there we are. So I can go ahead and re-lock this screen now, and we will
screen off.
Start heading back the way we came, because that is actually the way to go, although the thing would, it would calculate regardless our route. So let me just reposition everything here so I can use my cane properly, and let's go. All right.
And west winds, the cabin, left side 82 yards.
Okay. Turn that phone around so you can hear it a little bit better there. There we go. And once we get down here, there will be a turn. A left turn, actually, is what it'll be. And we should definitely get a...
Winslick Avenue. Left side 51 yards. Rerouting. In 175 yards, turn left on Jameson Avenue.
Yeah, so it rerouted because it... I was facing the other way when I entered the route before I turned around. So once it realized what direction we were going, it just recalculated.
Butt Park, 0.2 miles north, Winslick Avenue, left side, 31 yards.
And it says Winslick Avenue, left side this time because we're heading back the other direction, and that street is only on our left. So that is correct. Okay.
Heading northwest. Heading west.
Yeah, sometimes you get GPS fluctuation, and it'll tell you, like, head west, northwest. And the faster you walk, the better direction usually you get. So, yeah. As we get down here...
Jameson Avenue ahead, 107 yards. In 97 yards, turn left on Jameson Avenue.
Yep, 97 yards. And we will make our turn.
Near Jameson Avenue. At Lindenwood, PL 83 yards southwest. Jameson Avenue ahead, 75 yards.
All right.
In 62 yards, turn left on Jameson Avenue.
We will.
Jameson Avenue ahead, 49 yards. Jameson Avenue at Lindenwood, PL 52 yards southwest. In 40 yards, turn left on Jameson Avenue.
Okay.
Jameson Avenue, you have 29 yards. Jameson Avenue at Lindenwood, PL, 32 yards southwest.
And here is the turn, right here. We are at the, we are actually at the corner, so I'll make the turn. We probably just didn't get to the threshold enough yet
southwest.
To, for it to say actually to turn, but it's pretty obvious which what we got to do here, because this is definitely the, plus it announced the street, and so.
Heading south.
Okay. So now we are on the next street, and this will take us all the way there, although it's a couple blocks. So we'll do that. And I'll take this opportunity.
Jameson Avenue, Baycroft Avenue, you ahead 249 yards. Jameson Avenue at Lindenwood, PL 12 yards ahead. Destination on Jameson Avenue will be at 0.2 miles on the left. Jameson Avenue at Lindenwood, PL 8 yards behind.
Yep, so it gave us the where the destination's at, and it said it'll be on the left, and speech is a little bit choppy there for some reason, with some of these words. Ivona does that sometimes with some...
Jameson Avenue at Lindenwood, PL, 30 yards behind, heading southeast.
It chops off some words for some reason.
Heading south.
Not sure if that's a speech engine issue or what that is. It, the phone's certainly fast enough.
Jameson Avenue at Lindenwood, PL, 50 yards behind.
I was going to say, I'll to shorten this up, maybe I'll talk a little bit about the...
Jameson Avenue, 25 yards west. Jameson Avenue, Baycroft, Hammondwood, head 184 yards.
I was going to say, maybe I'll start to...
Baycroft, Hammondwood, head 177 yards.
Talk a little bit about the Sendero app, but now let's just focus on this. And we'll do the Sendero one when we get back.
Jameson Avenue at Lindenwood, PL 81 yards behind.
This is why I... And actually, I am going to do this so we can cut down on a little bit of this verbiage. That's why I don't usually check the distance. I wanted to show you how it worked, but the place distance, that's why I usually leave that unchecked, because it is a lot of extra verbiage, and all I prefer to know is what place I'm close to. So I'm going to stop, and I'm going to uncheck that option so we can get rid of some of that verbiage. There we go. All right. So that should cut down on some of that verbiage as that place distance updates. And that's why I usually leave it unchecked. It'll still tell us what place we're close to. So, but certainly if you have this app and you want to have that checked, you're welcome to. But it's I did want to show you how it worked, but a little extra verbiage, that should cut down on that a little bit. And that having been said, we will continue. I will mention a few things, actually, about the Sendero one on the way, just to make this a little bit shorter, since we have a little ways to go on this route. There is a couple of things, I think, that the Sendero one on the iPhone does lack. Now, I'm sure it will be coming, but at this point, it doesn't work at all. It doesn't work if you actually... It doesn't work if you lock your screen at all.
Blessings Enterprises, LLC.
So it says that's the nearest place, but it doesn't really tell us the distance now since we turned that off. That's a little bit less verbiage, but if you lock your screen on the iPhone, the Sendero one at this point does not work at all. And that I think is a big disadvantage, because
Craft Avenue ahead 69 yards. Destination on Jameson Avenue will be in 214 yards on the left.
Yep. Okay. Because it's not practical to keep your screen on all the time. Number one, it takes extra battery. Number two, to have...
Bancroft, Hammond, go ahead 48 yards.
Yep, and Bancroft will be the next street that we come up to. It takes extra battery, and if you do put the phone in your pocket or something like that to have the screen on...
Bancroft, Hammond, go ahead 28 yards.
Then, your screen's going to probably get activated and different things are going to get touched. And here's Bancroft, and that's what we're going to cross. The other thing that it lacks, at this point anyway, is there's really no way to set what is spoken and what isn't on the on the location screen. Yep, Sutherland Avenue is the name of the next street, and that's the last one we're going to cross. So, on the location screen, which is probably going to be your main screen where you look at things, it updates, but if you want to read a lot of the information, you have to actually touch it manually. You can shake the phone to refresh the screen, and then VoiceOver will read the whole the screen, but then everything is spoken. Your altitude, your...
Sutherland Avenue will head 59 yards.
So,
destination on Jameson Avenue will be 97 yards on the left.
It's pretty much at this
near
point...
Mom's Deli.
As far as near Mom's Deli, that's the nearest place, so, and that's where we're going. But, and I'll show you more about
Sutherland
that, but...
Sutherland Avenue will head 37 yards.
So at this point, nearby Explorer does...
Destination on Jameson Avenue will be at 66 yards on the left.
You do have definitely a lot more control
Sutherland
over
Avenue.
Sutherland Avenue, which we just arrived at, and we are crossing. Got a car here. Will it let me go? Yes. Okay, good. and our destination will be on this block. Okay. And let's see if it does tell us we've...
Mom's Deli. He is on the left. Jameson Avenue. Lansdowne Avenue will head 90 yards.
Okay. Actually, I'm walking a little more. It's right ahead of us. And some of that's just GPS fluctuation. It told us when we were about... Oh, there. Now we've arrived at it. So there we are. Okay. So I'm going to turn around and head back, and the app should detect that and tell us... That and it
heading north Sutherland Avenue ahead 37 yards.
Yeah, so it said heading north and it gave us that street that we just crossed, and the phone did vibrate also and told us that we had arrived at the destination. So what I'm going to do now, I think, is I'm going to exit this app.
Device unlocked. 2:40 p.m. Alert waiting for result.
Oh.
Online search results 150 yards.
Oh, come on. Okay, I just went ahead and exited that that app. You've kind of seen how it works now, and I'll do a little more of my introduction to the Sendero one on our way back to save a little bit of time. But as you can see, that app did very well. It told us automatically told us what street we were coming up to. It told us, we were able to do the route. It told us what place we were closest to. We did a search, and it gave us the directions and told us what side the destination was on, and also told us when we had arrived. So very, very good. So getting back to the Sendero introduction, part of the reason why the Sendero one is not quite as flexible at this point actually is some restrictions that are into iOS. Now, this is going to get a little technical, so let me try to explain it as best I can. On Android, you can install other voices. Like, I'm not using, Ivona, that's not the voice that came with it. That's one that I installed from the Play Store. And any developer is free to use the voices that are installed. And that's what Nearby Explorer does. It speaks by sending its information directly to the speech engine without using a screen reader. Well, at this point, now I've heard this is going to change in iOS 7. Don't know how true that is yet. We won't know until it actually is released. Everything's just rumor at this point. But at this point, at least, for whatever reason, I don't know, but Apple does not let third-party developers use the voices that are built into the iPhone, like Samantha and all those different ones. So when an application wants to be self-voicing, it has to include its own text-to-speech engine. That's why with apps like Read2Go from Bookshare and like VoiceStream and all that stuff, they have their own voices that you have to install, and that's that's impractical for a lot of reasons. You might have, depending on what apps you have installed, you might have 2, 3, even 4 copies of the same text-to-speech engine on your device for each app, and that's just silly. I mean, it's impractical. That's again one of the things I don't like about iOS with its restrictions is you cannot install other system voices. And at this point, at least, now it may change, but Apple does not let third-party developers use the voices that are already there. And at this point, I guess Sendero did not include its own TTS engine with the app, so it's relying on VoiceOver to speak everything, and that's why the app does not work when the screen is off. And at this point, on the location screen, if you want to read the different information, it does update, but I'm going to pause this while we go past here. Somebody's blaring their music, so we'll pause this for a second. Okay, we got past that. I didn't want that blaring in your ears there. So at this point, when it comes to the location screen that tells you, like, your upcoming crossing, the street is automatically spoken, actually. But the distance to your next street, the only way that's going to speak is if you actually touch it on the screen. And you can shake the phone, and that will refresh the whole screen, and it will speak, but then everything is spoken. Your street, your altitude, your location accuracy, all that stuff. So that's one area where it definitely needs to improve. Hopefully with iOS 7, if Apple does allow that, they'll be able to use the built-in voices. If not, they need to include their own TTS, because at this point, it doesn't give you near as many options as what Nearby Explorer does, and I'll show you that once we get started. We're almost back to my place here, and what I will do once we get there, I'll have to I'll pause this and I'll put my SIM card in to my new iPhone 5, and then we'll take the Sendero one out for a run, and of course I'll show you the app too, kind of like how we did Nearby Explorer. Okay, here we are. So, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and pause this and go back inside, and then we will pick it up in there. I need to go ahead and put the SIM card, take it out of my Android phone and put it into my iPhone, which will take me a minute, and then we'll pick it back up. Okay, so I'll be back with you in just a couple of moments. All right, we are back on the recording here, and got back in here and grabbed myself a little something to drink first, and then I went ahead and pulled my SIM card out of my Android phone and popped it into my iPhone 5. So we got that. So what I'm going to do here is I'm sitting on my home screen, and let's go ahead and open up the Sendero Seeing Eye GPS app. And before we venture out, I'll give you the grand tour, kind of like we did with Nearby Explorer.
App Store, Game Center, Settings, page 1 of 3, okay, adjustable,
gotta go to
page 2 of 3,
page 2,
Sirius XM,
okay,
Seeing Eye GPS,
and there we are,
double,
let's open that up,
Seeing Eye GPS, look around wand, off, button,
okay,
face
so,
west, location.
So what we've got
look around one, off,
is on this is on every screen actually, which
670.
Yeah, okay.
Location accuracy within out at top of screen. Look around location.
Okay. So the look around wand feature, and I'm going to go ahead and lock the screen just for a moment.
Screen locked.
And again, this app will not do anything when it's locked, but that option is available on every screen, and again, that's kind of like that geobeam feature in Nearby Explorer, where you can point your phone in different directions, and it will tell you what's in that direction. So that's what that does. So where we're at here is on the location screen. Let me go ahead and
257 take picture, but slide to unlock.
Unlock this.
Acquiring GPS position. Please wait.
So again, it, acquiring GPS position. When you lock it, it loses the GPS position.
Avenue, left and right,
okay, so
look around, wand, off, button.
Here is the location screen.
Northwest.
And
near location intersection ahead. Lindenwood Avenue left and right.
Okay.
Location accuracy facing northwest.
So
altitude 400 knots near 3,900 intersection ahead. Lindenwood Avenue left and right.
This is the
location accuracy within 16 feet. Altitude 490 routes button.
So that's the location information that it gives you on the main screen, and this is probably going to be the screen you're going to be on most of the time. Another thing I wish it would do is put the nearest point of interest on the location screen. Currently, it doesn't do that. So you can look up POIs, but you have to go into that screen. But it will not. Without doing that, you will not know what your closest point of interest is. When you're on the location screen, you will have to specifically go into POIs and do a blank search to find that. So being able to just know the nearest point of interest would be nice. That's another kind of plus for Nearby Explorer, I think, in that regard. So what we've got then, these buttons are always on the bottom. You have routes.
POIs button.
POIs, which we'll get to when we do this search, when we do our route.
Selected. Location.
Location.
Button. Map.
Button. Map is visual. It doesn't really offer anything for a blind person. It's a visual thing.
Settings. Button.
Settings. We'll come back to that in a second. I just want to show you what's all on the location screen now that it's kind of stabilized
look
a little
around
bit.
Wand. Off location. Facing northwest.
Now I wonder if we turn the phone the other way.
Setting. Map. Button.
Let's see.
Near. Facing southwest.
Yeah, so I think it uses the compass in addition to GPS to do that also.
Near.
Okay, and that's the
Lindenwood Avenue left and right.
So it tells you the current address, the next
near intersection ahead.
Intersection ahead. And that's what I was kind of talking about. Okay. While we are walking, none of that is automatically spoken. The only way to get that to automatically speak is to shake the phone, which refreshes the screen, and then everything on that screen is spoken. The one exception to that is it does tell you, like, if you get on a different street, that it does do, but there's no way currently to have it automatically speak, like, updated distance to next intersection without reading it on the screen. It's sort of an all or very minimal, because, again, if you shake the phone, it'll do that, but then it speaks everything, as you'll see when we get outside. But anyway, so that's the address.
Location accuracy, within 16 feet.
Location accuracy, altitude.
Routes.
Okay, so that's what's on your location screen. And again, having the nearest POI there would be nice. Routes, that allows us to do a search. That's where you'd go to for an address. If you wanted to enter an address, you would do it there. But let's go into settings and take a look there.
PO, select nav, settings, button.
Take a look there.
Settings, back, look around, wand, off, settings, heading, general. Button.
Okay, so we'll go into general first. Take a look.
General. Look around wand. Off. General. Heading. Units. Heading. Selected. Feet. Button.
So
one of three.
You can do feet, yards, or
meters. Button. Yards.
Or yards or meters.
Three of three.
We'll leave that at feet.
Home address. Heading.
Home address. I haven't set that, but you can. And then there's an option in the routes to say to navigate to home.
Not set.
Yeah, I didn't set that yet.
Set. Button. Shake. Heading.
Okay, shake. You can control the sensitivity.
Selected. On. Button. Off. Button. Two of two. Routes. Button. POIs.
And now we're
button.
Back to the main kind of little... You can kind of think of that as a toolbar on the bottom of the screen. You got routes, POIs, location. All that's always on the bottom. You can kind of think of that as your toolbar, perhaps. All right, let's go back to the top.
Settings. Back button.
And we'll go back.
Settings. Look around. Settings. General. Routing. Button.
Routing. Let's
settings.
Go in there.
Routing. Look around, routing, heading, arrival distance, heading, selected, 50 feet, button.
Yeah, that's how close you have to be before it says you've arrived, and 50's good. That way that's the lowest one, and that way you're as close as possible before it says you've arrived.
75 feet, but 100 feet, route avoidances, heading.
Route avoidances, Nearby Explorer had this too, of course. You can...
Highways, unselected, toll road, unselect seasonal closure, unselect unpaved, unselect ferry, unselect country border, unselect routes. Button.
So I don't have it set to avoid anything. That would mostly apply to driving, probably. Okay, let's go back.
Settings. Look around. Settings. Heading. General. Button. Routing. Look around. Button.
Now look around. I'm not totally sure if that's for the
about. Button.
look around wand, or if that relates to the location screen. I'm assuming it's for the location screen, though, because there really isn't a thing in the program that says look around per se. I mean, you got the look around wand that allows you to point your phone in the different directions, but that doesn't really affect the location screen. So let's go into look around.
Look around. Setting. Look around. Look around. Heading. Intersection details. Heading. Level. Selected. Simple. Button. Full. Button. Two.
I had it set to simple. I'll go back to full so you can see how much information the program provides.
Selected. Full. 2 of 2. Look around update interval. Heading. 15 seconds.
And that's fine. That's a decent amount.
Update interval slider. 15 seconds. Look around configuration. Heading. Points of interest. Under 15 miles per hour. Button. Intersection. Under 15 miles per hour. Button. Look around wand. Heading. Look around wand. Include intersections. Switch button. On. Routes. Button. Include look around wand.
Yeah, okay. So, I'm going to go ahead and turn that on, I think, because maybe you do have to have that on, and maybe it does make it so it does announce a point of interest as you go past it. We'll turn that on, I think, actually. So let's go. Let's exit
back,
out of here.
Back button. Look around wand. Off button. Location. All right. Look around wand. Off. Selected. Look around wand. On.
So we'll go ahead and enable that. Okay. So here we are. So that's the app. It's a little bit simpler than Nearby Explorer. There's definitely less options than what Nearby Explorer provides. In a nutshell, that's the app. I'll show you the let me show you the route screen actually too, because we'll look at the POI one when we create our route. So we'll
0.2 miles, drugstore/pharmacy, Lindenwood Drug.
Yeah, okay. So I just turned the phone and
north, 850 feet, park, Lindenwood Park neighborhood.
Okay. So that does actually automatically announce. I think I'll keep that on. As you turn the phone, and of course, as you change direction, probably we'll see if that makes a difference. So we'll keep that enabled. And maybe you do have to do that. In Nearby Explorer, that was a totally separate thing, and it just determines whether you point your phone. But I will leave it enabled for now. Okay, so.
Button.
Let's
Map.
Go
Select.
Into
Location.
Route.
POIs. But routes. Button. Route creation. Back. Look around wand. Off. Route creation. Look around wand. Off.
Yeah, turned off the look around wand. We'll re-enable that in a minute.
Route creation. Heading. Create route to where? Route to home. Button. Point of interest. Button.
Yeah, so point of interest, that would allow you to do that.
Address. Button. History. 3,000 net selected. Routes.
So it's
button.
Pretty simple. And
history. Address.
When you...
Button.
When you put the address, when there's a place to put like the city, state, and zip code and things like that, it assumes your current location automatically. And you could change that by putting in different zip codes or something like that. But that's in a nutshell how that works. So.
Map.
Okay.
Settings. Map. Location. Button.
Let's go back to the
location
screen.
Back button. Look around wand. Off button.
And I'm going to go ahead and re-enable
facing
that.
Northwest. Selected. Look around one. On.
Okay, and I am going to lock my screen just for a second. One thing to keep in mind that I've noticed, I'll show you that when we get outside, actually. I won't, so you can see what I mean. Okay, let's go ahead and pause this, and we'll head out, and let's repeat the exact same, thing that we did, and we will see how this app does. All right. So we'll pause this and be back with you in a minute once we head outside. Okay, we are back on the recording here. My screen is still locked. I have not unlocked that yet, because what I want to do is get out here to show you something that you do have to be aware of at this point. If you lock your phone, for whatever reason, again, the app won't work, but once you unlock it, it will reacquire the GPS, but the information that VoiceOver reads to you then will be the previous information. It will not be current. That's what I've found here. And to show you that, once I get across this street, we'll go ahead and unlock the device. So this is something too that you'll want to be aware of if you use this. Okay. And again, that's a major feature, I think, that needs to be fixed. They need to allow this to work when your screen is off. And in order to do that, they're going to have to provide either their own TTS, or if Apple allows it with iOS 7, to be self-voicing. That's just, there's no other way around it. That's a major drawback. All right, we are over at the park now, and I've turned onto a different street. So I'm going to go ahead and unlock this.
308, slide to unlock.
Okay.
Acquiring GPS position, please wait. Northeast, 900 feet, monument/landmark, Lindenwood Park.
All right, so now what we'll do is we'll just go ahead and...
East, 275 feet, Wenslick Avenue, 4 o'clock.
Yeah, so...
North, 650 feet, Park, Lindenwood Park neighborhood.
Okay, so that look around wand, if you turn your phone different ways, that's what actually makes it announce the different things. Now... as we continue,
Wenslick Avenue, 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it says 4 o'clock. I wish also they provided a way to customize. I mean, the clock thing is fine, but they need to add something to this, and I'm sure they will, hopefully, to say, you know, on the left or on the right, not just clock face, which at this point I don't think there's a way to change that. So it's automatically announcing that. Yeah, so it does announce it. Okay, so for the POI to work, you do have to have that look around wand on. Now, as you can see, it's not announcing the distance at all to the next street. Now, we can read that, but we'll have to do it manually. Like, I'll, here, let me find that on the screen.
POIs, button.
Let's see.
Near. 6,700 near. Intersection ahead on Lindenwood Avenue. 350 feet. Four-way. Lindenwood Avenue ahead and behind on Prather Avenue right and left.
And that's right. So Prather is up ahead. Now, as we continue, you'll notice that does not automatically speak. It'll speak the street when we get up to it, Prather, but there's no way at this point to automatically speak that as you get closer. Now,
location accurate, intersection ahead on Lindenwood Avenue, 250 feet.
See,
four-way.
It,
Lindenwood Avenue ahead and behind on Prather Avenue right and left.
Yeah. Now, the only way to get that kind of thing automatically spoken at this point is to shake the phone. But if you do that, you're going to get a lot of other things as well, which I'll show you. Let's go ahead and shake
Prather
the
Avenue right and left.
Let's go ahead and shake this. There we go.
Heading east at 1.8 miles per hour. Near 6,747 Lindenwood 8, St. Louis, Missouri, 63109. Intersection ahead on Lindenwood Avenue, four-way. Lindenwood Avenue ahead and behind on Prather Avenue right and left. Location accuracy, within 16 feet. Altitude, 509 feet.
So, the only way to have stuff automatically spoken at this point, for the most part, except for the street, is you have to shake the phone and then have all of that spoken to you. There needs to be more customization as to what you want spoken, and particularly the closest POI speaks looks like if you have the look around wand on, but there needs to be more flexibility as to what's there needs to be a little more automatic speech feedback, I think, with this, and that just doesn't it just doesn't have that yet, and that's, you know. So that's one major. Now, I just got to the next street, and nothing was even spoken to indicate that. Oh, there it is.
North, 275 feet, Mardell Avenue right. North, 0.2 miles, Strawlix.
Well, it's Prather Avenue, actually, is where we are.
Bakery, pint-sized bakery and coffee.
Yeah. So let me turn off that look-around wand
miles.
For now.
Strawlix.
Because it is...
East, facing east.
It does provide the nearest place as you turn your phone. Just keep in mind that it's going to tell you what place you...
North, 600 feet.
Yeah,
mark back button, selected, look around wand, on, button, look around wand, off.
Okay, just keep in mind that's going to be whichever way you turn your phone, not necessarily the direction you're walking. So again, I think that I think that the POI, I mean, the Look Around One is fine, but it also needs to tell you the nearest POI based on your current location, not just the way you point your phone.
Top of screen.
So, let me just try to read our intersection again, because...
Intersection ahead, on Lindenwood Avenue, 325 feet, three-way. Lindenwood Avenue behind and ahead, and Wenslick Avenue, 4 o'clock.
Yeah, okay, because I turned around the other direction, so... But, as you can see, I mean, that's not spoken at all unless you touch the screen, or if you shake the phone, then... You know, the whole screen is spoken. So that's one area. That and not, you know, being able to work at all when the screen is locked. And keep that in mind, especially if you are on a route, definitely at this point at least do not lock your phone, because if you do, you will not get any instruction if you do that. So that's important. And the phone, it looks like this app will actually keep the screen from locking. It doesn't allow the phone to lock. You can do it manually, of course, still, but all right. Well, let's go ahead and do our route here to the same place. So, to do that, let's go ahead and choose POIs here.
Is editing. Points of interest.
Now, the way this works, we could do a search here. If you want to see all your closest points of interest, by the way, you can choose here, too, to use Foursquare, Navtech, or OpenStreetMap for your points of interest. Foursquare is the default, and I would suggest you leave it there, because that one's going to give you the most dynamic and probably the best results. So we could probably find it in the results, but let's go ahead and just do a search. So we'll type in mom again. I'll have to put my recorder in my pocket again to type it. So just bear with me for a second here while I do that. Alrighty, let's see what we got here.
Mom back. Look around one. Off. Points of interest. Heading. Mom's Deli. 4412 Jameson 8. St. Louis. 0.3 miles SW. Button.
Okay, that's what we want, so let's double tap that.
Route creation. Back. Look around one. Route creation. Heading. Mom's Deli. Fourth call. Button. Vehicle route. Button. Pedestrian route. Button.
And...
Other. Button. Pedestrian other routes.
I think other.
Button.
I don't know what that does. Let's see.
Other. Vehicle. Fastest. Button. Pedestrian. Button. Getting warmer. Button. Bicycle.
Oh, okay.
Multimodal. Button.
So we got a couple of other
multimodal
options.
Bicycle.
There.
Button.
So let's go ahead and
getting warmer. But pedestrian.
So you do have getting warmer. Let's go ahead and do pedestrian.
Route creation. Up route to Mom's Deli. 4412 Jameson Avon left. Back button.
Okay, so now...
0.3 miles to destination. Estimated time, 8 minutes.
Okay.
Current heading is southwest. Proceed west. Start going west on Lindenwood Avenue toward Wenslick Avenue. Turn left on Jameson Avenue in 600 feet.
Okay, so that's... that instruction was a little nicer than what Nearby Explorer started out with.
Look around one.
So...
Off route to Mom's Deli. 4,000. Turn left on Jameson in 530. Route details. Button.
So route detail would give us the entire route. That's like the directions listed Nearby Explorer. So I'm going to go ahead and go back to the location screen. You can do that, so we can follow where we're at here.
Cancel button.
And we can
recalculate route.
Cancel the route.
Selected.
Recalculate.
POIs button. Location.
All right. Let's go back to location.
Face location. Back button.
All right.
Here. 6,765 Lindenwood A, St. Louis.
And rather than hearing that...
Lindenwood Avenue, 250 feet, four-way. Lindenwood Avenue ahead and behind and Prather Avenue right and left.
Well...
Intersection ahead, on Lindenwood Avenue, three-way. Lindenwood Avenue behind and ahead and Wenslick Avenue, 4 o'clock.
Yeah, and that's right.
Accuracy, within 16 feet.
Okay.
Altitude, 504 feet.
All right, so...
100 feet, turn left on Jameson Avenue. 0.3 near... Roots.
Okay, so see, I bumped the screen there, because again, you can't. Well, I was trying to readjust to hold the recorder and the phone, because again, you can't. If you lock the screen, you will not get any feedback. Now, the instructions are automatically spoken, which is a good thing. But again, at this point, without touching the screen, We will get some feedback when we get to the next street, but we will not be told anything about the distance.
Approaching a left turn on Jameson Avenue in 300 feet.
Yep. Okay. So that's fine, and we will do that. But that, again, there needs to be more automatic speech, I think, on this screen. And hopefully they will improve on that. So, we will get down here, and I'll go ahead and try to touch the screen and just see the distance to our next...
intersection ahead, yeah. On Lindenwood Avenue, 200 feet, four-way. Jameson Avenue left and right at Lindenwood Avenue ahead and behind.
Yeah, okay, so that's that. And as we go here, should be just about to the next...
turn left on Jameson Avenue.
Yeah, so turn left on... So, it's interesting. This one tells you to turn left when you're not quite there yet, because I haven't even gotten to the point yet. I'm still going. I haven't even gotten to the place yet where I can turn. Okay, now I have. Here's the turn. So, it's interesting. This one tells you the actual turn. I mean, they both tell you in a certain amount of feet turn, but then this app seems to announce the actual turn a little bit farther back than what Nearby Explorer did, because Nearby Explorer never even got to that point when it would actually say to turn when I had already gotten there. I don't know if one's necessarily better than the other.
Continue straight on Jameson Avenue. Destination
Mons
Telly,
4412 Jameson Avenue. Yeah, so a motorcycle there or something. So yeah, it's interesting. It uses WAV files too. It says continue straight, and you know, now it we can tell that we're you know, on a different street, because it said continue straight, but see, I don't know if we weren't following a route, if it would have even announced that we're on a different street. Let me query the screen again and touch that and try to see what it says about our intersection.
Location accuracy. Revealed intersection ahead on Jameson Avenue. 600 feet. Four-way. Bancroft Avenue left and right on Jameson Avenue ahead and behind.
Yeah, okay. So, that's that. But... now if I refresh this again, I'll shake the phone and we'll get the full update, but then it will speak everything for us.
Heading south at 2.0 miles, intersection ahead.
Whoops.
Jameson Avenue, 525 yeah. Feet, four way. Bancroft Avenue left and right of Jameson Avenue ahead and behind. Near 3932 Jameson A, St. Louis, Missouri, 63109. Intersection ahead on Jameson Avenue, 525 feet, four-way. Bancroft Avenue left and right of Jameson Avenue ahead and behind. Location accuracy, within 16 feet. Altitude, 490 feet.
Okay.
0.2 miles, south to destination. Estimated arrival, 3:26 p.m.
Okay, so that's a nice little touch, too, that it says that gives you the ETA, which is a nice little touch, so... Like I said, at this point, for automatic speech, you either get not a whole lot, at least unless you're following a route, or you get everything. And I'll be interested to see what they do with the 1.1 version, which they're already working on. And we should be up to Bancroft here in just a little while. Okay. A little warm out here today. Summer's definitely in full swing. Let's see it. I don't know. Just Nearby Explorer provides... Well, I guess you could disable...
Transportation. Edmonds Limo Service.
Oh, that's good. Okay, it does do a POI when you get, I guess, close enough to it.
Bancroft Avenue left and right.
Okay, so it announced Bancroft left and right automatically, which is good. And we've just come up to that. Well, actually, I'm not there yet. It's still Still walking. Haven't actually gotten to it yet. Still going. Haven't actually gotten to Bancroft. So yeah, it kind of announced that one. That was a little premature, I think, on that one. All right, now we have. Here is Bancroft. We're going to go ahead and cross it. And then we'll have one more block to go. I think the...
Food. Mom's Deli.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. So, yes, it does announce the nearest... it does announce the nearest POI. Okay. When I tested this yesterday, that didn't work. But that's good. I'm glad that it... I'm glad that it does do that automatically. The biggest thing, I think, at this point, there needs to be a little more flexibility with the automatic feedback, especially counting down the distance to the next street. You should not have to touch the screen for that. That's critical. That and the fact that it doesn't work if... Yeah, Sutherland Avenue, left and right. Okay, that will be the next street, although we have a little ways to get there yet. So that's how that goes. But yeah. So the two biggest things, I guess, with this I've got at the moment are you have to get a lot more. There needs to be more automatic feedback, and it doesn't work with the screen locked. Those are critical, I think. Though they're major. I mean, nearby Explorer, if you notice, it provided us a lot more automatic speech without having to interrogate the screen. Let's cross this street. We're at Sutherland now. We just crossed it, and this should tell us that we get to our destination here in just a second. Okay. This is about where nearby Explorer said we arrived.
Lansdowne Avenue left and right. Mom's Deli. 4412 Jameson Avon left. 64 feet ahead. Total distance walk 0.4 miles.
Yep.
Route to Mom's Deli. 4412
okay.
Jameson Avon left.
So we have arrived. And it said, it used a WAV file, a sound file, instead of
recalculate.
Instead of the actual voice, but so I'll go ahead and close that for now while we go back. So okay, so it did speak when we got to the destination. It told us what side it was on. It's kind of interesting that it uses kind of a WAV file to do that instead of a voiceover, but you know, no big deal there. So we'll go ahead and head back, and I'll go ahead and we'll finish this up. Well, at this point. As I already said, and you can probably kind of tell, at this particular point, now again, this is probably going to change. Sendero's going to make some improvements, I'm sure, but at this point, there's no question. Nearby Explorer is a better app. There's no question. It the automatic feedback that it provides is much more, and you can customize it, of course. You have full control over exactly which things are automatically spoken, and it works with the screen locked, which is another big thing. I mean, to have to keep your screen on all the time just is not, that's just not acceptable, I don't think. Because you could touch the screen, as I did, you know, when I shook it the one time that I ended up bumping the screen and interrupted the speech. And then you notice it didn't provide near as much feedback about counting down the distances to the next street the way nearby Explorer did. And the destination part worked okay. I mean, that was fine, and it did announce, you know, the closest point of interest. But not having that automatic stuff, and then when you shake the phone again, having to have everything spoken like that, it just, yeah, there
it's a good start for 1.0, but there's more work that definitely needs to be done, I think, to get it up to where Nearby Explorer is at. And again, you know, it's not, you know, I hope nobody thinks I'm being biased because I use Android, you know, as my primary platform. That's not it. It's factual. Nearby Explorer provides more feedback automatically, and if you don't want that, then you can turn that off, because each item can be toggled, and that's the type of thing that this, I think, needs to provide for each item. So, you know, and again, that's my own view, but I think that that is an important thing. So it's a good start. It's definitely a good start, and I'll be really interested to see what 1.1 offers. And so that would be, I'd say, to summarize it, the biggest things I think that need to be improved on this app are it needs to work when the screen is locked, and you need more customization over the automatic announcements. In particular, as you approach a street, the distance to that street needs to be spoken as you get closer to it. That's without having to touch the screen, because that's you know, you might have it in your pocket with headphones or that kind of thing, and it's just not practical to have to do that. So, the one thing I did like about this one, though, when you first start out with a route, the first direction that it gives you is kind of nice. I did like that. That might be something Nearby Explorer could add also, but. Like I say, at this point, out of the two, Nearby Explorer has my vote for the better of the two. And again, though, depending on what platform you're using, that's the app you'll have to choose. Because at this point, I don't know if APH plans on creating one for the iPhone. And I don't know if Sendero, there's something on the list the other day about Sendero needing, you know, funding to do their app on Android, because they seem to think the Android market is much smaller. I don't think that's the case anymore, actually. I think, especially within the next year, I think it's going to even out, if it hasn't already. There are definitely a lot of blind users on Android, and that's only going to increase now that the accessibility has come full circle. So, you know, we will see. But, you know, I hope you found this informative. And again, you shouldn't use this as a basis on just this alone on what platform to get. There's a lot of other things to consider besides that, but it is definitely one deciding factor. And again, I'm sure Sendero's going to make improvements on it, and it's good now that we have a really accessible GPS on the top two smartphone platforms, and hopefully eventually BlackBerry, if they survive, and Windows Phone will do the right thing and make their platforms accessible at no extra cost to the user, which is, of course, the way it should be. But at least as of now, the top two smartphone platforms are fully accessible, and we do have a GPS solution on each one. So, all right, let's go back inside, and we will wrap this up, and I'll give you my contact info, and we'll go ahead and do that. So, be right back with you. Alrighty, it is definitely kind of warm out there. Alright, well, I hope everybody's enjoyed this. I hope everybody found it, you know, informal. And again, I know people are passionate about, you know, their different apps and their different platforms. I am too, but I hope that I didn't appear biased in this. That certainly wasn't my intent. I just, you know, tried to point out what features I thought were important and, you know, where, in this case, the Sendero one was, you know, lacking a little bit more. And again, I think that'll get better. I think they definitely have some plans, and I know they're going to be offering where people can vote on what features they really want to see added. And I certainly will vote for the ones I think, so I will definitely put my vote where my mouth is on what I've said here. So again, at this point, to summarize it then, I think at this point, if GPS is what you're interested in, Nearby Explorer for Android, at this point at least, is a better app. It provides more flexibility as to what's automatically spoken. It works when the screen is locked, which is important. And, you know, those are features that I think are crucial. All right. If any of you want to contact me, any questions, comments, love your feedback.
love getting feedback that you know, about these podcasts. That's why I do them. I mean, I enjoy them, but it's nice to know that people enjoy listening to them. Feel free to contact me. Email address is N as in November, 0OXY. It's my ham radio call sign. N0OXY at charter, charter, .net. All right, everybody. We will hopefully talk to everyone soon, and happy traveling.